You're listening to Georgia Public Broadcasting. I'm Ricky Bevington. A month ago, President Donald Trump tweeted that U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement would begin the process of removing, quote, millions of illegal aliens from the country. He has since doubled down on that promise, and as recently as last Friday, he said raids would happen this past weekend. Atlanta was on the short list of cities that would be targeted in these so-called ICE raids. NGPB's Ross Durrell has been following the story. He joins me now in studio to talk about the residual impacts of the promised raids. Hi, Ross.
Hey, Ricky.
So walk us through what has happened so far in Atlanta in regards to these proposed raids.
Right. Well, not much. Immigrant communities are going on back-to-back weekends of, I guess, having their livelihoods threatened and expecting raids to happen. But there haven't been any massive arrests or explicit activity tied to these raids. In fact, I spoke with Azadeh Shashahani, who's with Project South, and that's a immigration advocacy organization. And she kind of described it as creating a very unsettling feeling among people who could be targeted.
People are, you know, staying indoors because that seems to be the best thing to do if, you know, ICE tries to come to the communities and try to arrest people.
And that means people are missing work. They're stocking up on groceries to stay indoors. Kind of everyday tasks are being complicated by these promises of raids.
It really sounds, Ross, like it's an emotional toll, if not yet a physical one. How are organizations preparing for something that may not even happen?
Yeah, it's kind of like having an emergency plan in your house, but for an entire community. So the American Immigration Council says there are about 375,000 undocumented immigrants living in Georgia, and that's the most recent data from 2017. So what communities are doing, they're handing out flyers, informing people of their rights, letting them know that ICE needs a warrant signed by a judge to enter their house. The Georgia Latino Alliance for Human Rights has set up a hotline and what they call ICE chasers. And these are kind of people who are stationed at apartment complexes, anywhere where undocumented immigrants may frequent, kind of telling residents, hey, you know, we've seen activity. We've seen law enforcement vans driving around. Maybe you want to stay inside. In fact, Atlanta Public Schools has even posted a notice on their website informing people and students of what to do in case they do interact with these federal agents.
Atlanta does have an ICE field office downtown. Have officials there or any local sheriff's departments said anything about the repeated promise of these raids?
Well, the spokesperson for ICE in Atlanta made it clear that if there were to be any stings or plans for raids, that they wouldn't necessarily announce it. But at this point, they don't have any increased activity report. And then you have Gwinnett County, which is the second largest county in the state by population. And they're part of the 287G program, which allows their sheriffs to act as an extension of ICE. But they've given no indication that they are going to participate, and they're not obligated to.
What about elected officials, Ross, in Georgia?
We've heard from Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms. She's been outspoken against these raids. And if you remember last year, Atlanta actually ended its contract with ICE. They said they would no longer accept detainees and no longer cooperate. Other than that, statewide elected officials have been relatively quiet. That's different when you look at the representation in D.C., when you have senators like David Perdue and Johnny Isaacson saying, you know, there is a border crisis that needs to be dealt with. And then you have Representative Hank Johnson, who condemns the president, saying he's using ICE as, quote, a tool of terrorism.
So, Ross, it's been a month since these threats have come in. What is next for these communities?
You know, that's the hardest part, is they don't really know. The one message that you hear from these organizations is, we're prepared to help, whether that be legally, whether you need assistance, we're here for you.
GPB's Ross Terrell, who's been following this issue and will continue to do so for GPB. Georgia's head of juvenile justice is out. Commissioner Avery Niles was fired today by the department's board and Governor Brian Kemp. The sudden departure comes after 11 Alive's investigative team revealed Niles lied under oath. He said he had an associate's degree in criminal justice from Columbus State University. The Department of Juvenile Justice oversees Georgia's youth offenders. No word on who will lead the department in the interim. Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms testified on Capitol Hill today. The topic was climate change. GPB's Ross Terrell reports.
Bottoms told the Senate Committee on Climate Change that widespread regional impacts could put a strain on the city.
Hurricanes and sea level rise in coastal regions of the southeast are likely to create climate refugees who seek rapid resettlement in Atlanta. We saw this in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina.
Atlanta is one of three cities in the state participating in the bipartisan National Climate Mayors Program. Both Clarkston and Macon's mayors are also a part of the network dedicated to fighting climate change at a local level. For GPB News, I'm Ross Terrell in Atlanta.